Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
To the Analyst Inside Cricket, the second day of the Aegeus Bowl Test match, the fourth Test match between England and India. And who wants to predict what's going to happen in it? Because it's been a very unexpected turnaround today, with India at one point suggesting they'd get lots of runs and then suddenly declining in the middle of their innings. And then suddenly the last two wickets, India normally walking wickets, they're number 10 and 11, they put on 70-odd runs for the last two wickets. Extraordinary.
Well, this time last night, I was emphatic. I thought India would get a first innings lead. A decent first innings lead. They did get the first innings lead, but it wasn't the type of first innings lead I expected in terms of size. And the way they got there was completely unexpected as well. You thought that seam was going to be the big threat today from England. Could the seam bowlers work the magic that India's four-man pace attack had worked on the first day? Well, not really. I mean, they worked. Broad got a couple of early wickets. Curran got the important wicket of Kohli, and then Stokes belatedly introduced into the attack, dismissed Rahane, but then it was Moeen Ali. It was a spinner. England looked as if they were going to get a lead. Then India fought really hard. Brilliant from Pujara. Last night, I thought India would get a decent lead. I'm not going to predict it from here. I think it's pointless. It's really hard to say what's going to happen in the rest of this match.
So they got a lead of 27 in the end. Actually, they crawled along towards the end of the innings. I thought another rather strange twist in this innings was that Rishad Pant, who smacked his second ball in Test cricket for six straight over the bowler's head at Trent Bridge and looked a real batsman with panache and style and so on. And today he batted 29 balls for nothing. Blocked. A complete stonewaller. Didn't seem to have any idea what to do. I guess you have to put that a little bit of that down to inexperience. But I think also there was a sort of instruction from Ravi Shastri and maybe Virat Kohli, sell your wicket dearly. Yeah. And he almost took it too literally. He didn't play a shot. And that really let Moeen in. He developed a lovely rhythm with the ball and he was really flowing to the wicket, I thought. Full of confidence, as you would if you've played well for Worcestershire in the last couple of weeks. Very much like his bowling here 4 years ago, when, of course, he took six wickets against India then. And suddenly, India was sort of mesmerised by an off-spinner. And I must admit, it was turning. I mean, what I think has probably surprised everybody is how the pitch on the first day helped the seamers to the extent it did. And today, the life for the seamers has just sort of evaporated out of it. And suddenly, it's a raging Bunsen, to use a horrible bit of rhyming slang.
Did you think the ball was turning out of the rough or off the main part of the pitch?
Both. I mean, Moeen was bowling some to the right-handers, which was really not only turning, but bouncing as well, hitting the batsman sort of high up on the thigh. Pujara, brilliant player of spin, couldn't really find it that easy to negotiate. And Moeen just went through the lower order. You normally think of Indians being very proficient against spin. They look completely inept. And he took 4 wickets in for 8 runs, didn't he, in the middle of the innings. And then suddenly, when you thought the India would collapse to 200 all out, the last 2 wickets, how they cobbled together 75. Do you know Jasprit Bumrah's batting average?
It was 0.8 coming into this match in Test cricket. He hasn't played a huge amount of Test cricket,
true, mind you, but
it was 0.8. I think he scored 4 runs and been out 5 times. But he batted really well. Who knows in the final analysis how crucial that innings is going to be. What about England's tactics? We often see it, don't we? A situation where we get 8 wickets down or 9 wickets down, they set the field back for the first 4 balls of the over.
You don't like that, do
well,
you?
What in any cricket match, I think when you stop trying to get one batsman out, it becomes it becomes that much harder. I know there's that risk reward situation. If you try to get Pujara out, you know, you might just start slamming it through the field that's up. But
I think you're right, because I think bowlers mentally relax as well when they're bowling those first four.
There's no zip, is there? Braw was bowling with a new ball at Pujara, knowing that basically just going through the motions the first 4 balls of the over. And you got a new ball. I mean, in a way, it was too late by then, because the tactics were set, and it'd be really hard to go back on them. I mean, Pujara batted magnificently, and it's always tricky when you've got one bloke in, he's really going and flowing.
But he's not a sort of destroyer.
No, not like Kohli was at
Edgbaston. He's a classical
Edgbaston
player. Yeah. So you're right, they could have actually still bowled orthodoxly to him. Great credit to Pujara, though. Played a real old-fashioned innings. Just absolutely got stuck in, left the ball very well, made the bowlers work hard for their wickets. I thought he calculated his back foot shots, sort of cuffing them over the slips quite cleverly. That was almost his only shot for a while, a little sort of push into the offside. Didn't try and work the ball against the spin or against the seamers at all. Played very straight, just a very resolute innings. And then towards the end, flourished a little bit more when he was batting with the tail. He hit a few more positive shots. But it's funny, actually, because, of course, today is the 50-year anniversary of the great Garfield Sobers' 6 sixes off and over Malcolm Nash, 1968, in Swansea. And it was anything but a swashbuckling affair when India batted today. It was a real attritional innings. Kohli looked good, but everyone else, you know, sort of chiselled and nurdled and nudged runs. It wasn't an expansive stroke-playing day at all.
Let's think about some of the main issues of the day. I suppose one of them is Ben Stokes. Keaton Jennings, you mentioned it. Keaton Jennings came on before Stokes. Stokes was delayed until after lunch. I mean, the only thing I can think of, I mean, we were told in advance of the game that he wouldn't bowl his full allocation of overs, but there was a stage when you feel it was his time to bowl, and Root didn't use him, and he thought, what's going on here? Is he not going to bowl at all? I just wonder in the end whether, you know, Stokes, you know what Stokes is like, he just wants to be part of the action, where he just said, right, come on, I'm going to have a bowl here. He was bowling in the warm-ups.
He
just seemed to be limping a bit with this knee problem he's got.
And then he came in for a few overs and bowled really quite well, and then suddenly went off a short run.
Yeah.
So there's obviously not something quite right. I mean, whether they had to wait a little while for treatment or an injection of some
kind to
actually have take effect before he could actually bowl, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. Either Stokes said, come on, I've got a bowl.
Yeah.
Or there was an injection. Because
Or maybe they just thought, we can't have Keaton Jennings bowling, he looks completely innocuous. I don't know. It was amazing to see Stokes bowling actually almost the same pace off about 5 pace run-up.
Well, Bumrah can do it, can't he? I mean, he's barely got a run-up at all. He just trots in. There's that swing of the arm, that straight arm action he's got.
No wickets for Anderson in 2 innings.
No, that was another thing I was going to mention.
Yeah.
No wickets for Jimmy Anderson. I mean,
second innings at Trent Bridge or first innings here.
We expect, because of his record, so much from him. That I suppose it's inevitable. Like a batsman, a great batsman, Don Bradman, he gets out for naught occasionally, or got out for naught occasionally. Great batsman fails sometimes. Top class bowlers have a day when they're not as successful.
In fact, he had a wicketless innings here, I think, the last time 4 years ago. But in fact, I looked at his paces today, and his paces were still up to 83, 84 miles an hour. So there's no loss of energy. I think sometimes, especially when your body's a bit older, it lacks that sort of bit of snap. And actually, I mean, he was saying to me when we did that interview with him at the TMS match about 10 days ago, he's saying, what, some days you just turn up and it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And you don't know why. It's just it doesn't come out the fingers quite the same, or your whole kind of coordination isn't just quite working in the same beautiful rhythm that it normally is, and the ball doesn't swing late. It was swinging a bit earlier today, or not at all, and so the batsmen were able to leave him with a bit more comfort.
As a former bowler, when do you know when that's going to be.
Well, you don't know when you turn up in the morning, that's for sure. You only
how
know,
far into your spell?
Well, you know when it sort of bowled about four or five overs, and the ball doesn't seem to be doing that sort of waspish movement like you can be used to seeing sometimes, especially from Anderson. And the batsman seems to be dealing with it with more comfort. He tried his little tricks, going a bit wider of the crease and deceiving batsmen. He got one edge from Kohli, which flew wide of third slip, which is a good bit of bowling. But I think overall, what he has been able to do over the last few years is realise that when he's not getting wickets, he can still at least tie an end up and have an effect. And he was tight at one end while Moen was getting the wickets at the other. So he played a part.
And Sam Curran,
a little bit innocuous,
bowling at 80 miles, but yeah, he did induce the full stroke from Kohli, which actually opened the door for England to get right back in the match. I mean, yeah, it's always a big wicket when you get Kohli
out. He might be effective in the second innings, actually, because I think with this dry pitch now, which is will probably get quite abrasive, it might start reverse swinging and also keeping low for the seamers, and he might get some LBWs. He bowled very well against the Indian A team at Worcester in the second innings there, got a few of them LBW with reverse swing. So he might come into his own a little bit later in the game, but obviously first, England have got to get some runs on the board.
Yeah, eight LBWs in the match so far out of the 20 wickets that have fallen. You mentioned that it was a big turner for Moeen Ali. India used Ashwin for a couple of overs before the close to open the bowling. Okay, it's not easy for a spinner to bowl with a new ball, although Ashwin has done it in the past. There was nothing significant there in terms of turn. We saw him get rid of Cook at Edgbaston a couple of times. In fact, he did him in a similar circumstance tonight. He bowled him out just before the close. Nothing much there. What did you make of that? Was it just too early to say? Or this is my point about, and Phil Tufnell made the point earlier, that he thought that Moeen was using the footholds better.
Right.
So
bowlers bowling round the wicket. Broad, of course, bowling round the wicket a lot to left-handers creates that rough outside.
And Curran bowling over the wicket as well from that far end.
It creates that rough for the off-spinner outside, the right-handers off-stump.
Because the point is, of course, if there is some turn for Ashwin, England have got seven left-handers and India have got a lead, albeit a small lead, and I think that was one of the big worries for England. Obviously, the other one is the general one. India have got a good bowling attack, good seam bowling attack, and they've got a lot of bases covered, and it's not going to be easy for England to set the sort of target that will really make it almost impossible for India. They can set a target that might make it tricky for India, it seems to me. So, Ashwin, a big focus on him on the third day.
And he tends to bowl well or better with a harder, newer ball than he does when it gets a bit old. He seems to get wickets early on. I mean, in the morning, we'll get the seamers on, I should think, probably to start with Ishant Sharma. I think I'd have opened the bowling with him tonight rather than Bumrah.
Really?
Because against the left-handers, he's absolutely deadly. But there isn't quite the same bounce and life in the pitch for the seamers as there was in the first innings. So England just have to have somebody. They need to find somebody who can play a Pujara-type innings and get that score lead up to over 200, 250 if they possibly can. If they can make, say, the highest score of the match, 275, setting India 250 to win, I don't think they'll get it.
Yeah, I see three scenarios. We're keeping our options open after sort of closing them down
sitting
last night.
Fence, aren't you?
Well, three options. India's bowlers hold sway, England get a small score, India knock them off. You can see that happening, especially with Ashwin and Bumrah and Ishant Sharma. England's confidence low, say India chasing 140 to win, something like that. England bowled out well under 200. England getting that sort of middling score, that sort of Edgbaston score that really gives us a tight test match. Or England really digging in tomorrow, breaking away and making it really hard for India. Could you really see India, say, chasing 270 to win? If England got 300, chasing 270 or above? Probably not. In the final inning. So it seems to me those are the three options available to us.
I'm taking your middle scenario, the one that's going to be an absolutely gripping final innings, chasing round about 240, 250 to win maybe a bit less. And I don't know who to try and predict is going to win it. And I'm just going to actually quote the great David Vine, the BBC commentator who commentated on skiing and all sorts of other sports. And I just remember that lovely quote when he was commentating on a top-class skier who was going down the mountain, and he said, "Oh, this skier," and I can't remember who it was, "is going to absolutely break the record and beat everybody's time and take the gold medal." And literally, as he'd stopped talking, that person just fell down, collapsed. All the skis and poles and everything went all over the place. And David Vine, given a little bit of pause, then just said, "Who'd be a prophet in this business?"
Well, exactly. Very, very hard game to predict from here. I think we've just laid out what we think could happen, what the options are, but to say which one of those three options, well, you know your colours to the Mars. I'm really not sure what's going to happen.
I wouldn't be betting on any particular outcome tomorrow.
Well, I've had a look at the odds, and it is that sort of market. People are not really quite sure which way to go.
Okay. Well, try and find a TV or a radio and follow it, because it's going to be intriguing.
Well, Birmingham was fantastic, wasn't it? It was a great test match. We've had two one-sided games since. Let's hope we get another nail-biting finish.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. Speak to you tomorrow.
Goodbye for now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.